Hello everyone, my name is Alonso Ruiz and I'm here with
Alice Farrell.
Welcome to our podcast called Agrarian Reforms of the 20th Century in Peru and Bolivia, from ethnic identity to economic identity.
So this podcast is going to consist of two episodes, and in the first one, we're going to be introducing our topic, which we're going to tell you a little bit more about in a second, and exploring the case of Peru. And in the second episode, we're going to talk more about Bolivia and then do a short comparative analysis of the two cases. Okay, so can you tell us about the research question that we chose to lead our investigation?
For sure. So our research question is, how has the political redirection of indigenous peoples' ethnic identity towards a more economic one affected the indigenous movement? So before rushing into our topic, we wanted to give you more context about our research. So what drove our investigation was the idea between the substitution of terms, both Indio, which means indigenous, and then campesino, which means peasant. And we wanted to see how the substitution that the reform implemented, how it impacted on indigenous movements in both Peru and on Bolivia.
So we're taking a look at that transition and sort of what effects it had to a larger extent on the indigenous populations. Okay, so as we said, we're going to start with Peru. Alonso is going to tell us a little bit more about that. So Alonso, can you start with telling us about the government that enacted these reforms? Sort of when did it happen? How did this government come to power? Sort of more information about that.
For sure. So the government that enacted this reform was the government of Juan Velasco Alvarado. He took power in 1968. And this reform was approved or like was legitimate from 1969. Juan Velasco Alvarado represented a left-wing party. He really wanted to redirect the national identity as well as the image of the Indio, because the term Indio had been used in diminishing and discriminatory terms. So he really focused on changing the discourse around Indio and changing the image. That's why he introduced the term campesino, but he changed the ethnic identity, and we are explaining that he replaced it for the economic one.
I wanted to clarify that when speaking out these terms, I think we should be like really minutious or really delicate, because our topic is a lot about language and about the specific terms that were used during these reforms. So it's always like delicate about speaking about Indio, indigenous. So it's a redirection, so it can be more comprehensive topic.
It's true, because when you think about it, Indio would actually be more like Indian in English, which is obviously a term that is not used anymore widely in academic or just day-to-day circles. Everybody uses indigenous now. So it is really interesting to see the evolution of language in that way.
Exactly. So Velasco Alvarado took the word campesino and he included it into his reform to redirect the identity into the economic aspect. So he actually went big for this. He made a big message to the nation. He gave a big speech about this reform, the agrarian reform. What would it mean? How would it change the economic? How would it implement the peace in communities?
He said, "History will mark this 24th of June as the beginning of an irreversible process, which will establish the basis of a real national greatness. That is to say, of a greatness cemented in social justice and the real participation of the people in the wealth and in the destinies of our country."
This speech was actually given the 24th of June of 1969, which used to be the day of the Indio, El Día del Indio. As he replaces this term, he introduced the economic identity, and by doing so, I'm going to quote him, "The Peruvian peasant will no longer be the pariah nor the disinherited person who lived in poverty from cradle to grave and who faced powerless and an equally gloomy future for his children." So this whole discourse that Velasco Alvarado makes is also a promise to the indigenous people and to the peasants, a promise of economic integration, a promise of regaining back their rights, a promise of the diminishing the feudal system in which they were, that endured their economic disparities and inequalities. And actually, the motto for this reform and this speech was "Land for those who tilled it." And Velasco Alvarado uses this argument also to justify the fact that he used the military power and that he did a coup d'etat to reform and to create a revolution in the country that would have like a structural changes. He said, "Therefore, overcoming our underdevelopment means achieving a new structure of Peruvian society, and thus changing the structures of economic, political, and social power in our country." So it wasn't just to redirect an image about the Indian to a least racialized term. It goes deeper than that. It goes to the question of social injustice, the economic one, the development of Peru overall. And he justified himself taking power for creating a revolution in Peru. So this reform was 1 year, approximately 1 year after he took power. So it's like a reaffirming to the people of his power, not only of his power, but of his revolutionary thinking. He said that the government to the day has been better, and that the government of the Peru before that was like it didn't see progress, but what he was making was on track of progress. So yeah, it's pretty clear that it seek to bring back the land for these indigenous people. But what we analyze is that it's not really inclusive of those who identify of like indigenous, but who aren't workers of the land. That's one aspect to it. And another flaw that I find in this, not only in the discourse, but in the reform itself, is the fact that as we researched, we found that it had no long-term impact. Like it kind of dissolved this whole idea. Like it came back, it redirected the public image of the Indio into a better image. But in terms of right and into the social and economic integration, the long-term impact, they did not endure.
Okay, that's really interesting. Do you think you could give us an example about how these reforms failed to produce results? Was it problems with their implementation, or just the very nature of them lacked in substance?
Of course. So what I could find is that the agrarian reform, as I mentioned, did not have an enduring economic integration, or that could benefit in the long term these indigenous peoples. I found a comparative analysis from Diane Hopkins, and that's entitled "The Peruvian Agrarian Reform: Descent from Below." She analyzes two communities, indigenous communities, one called Seccincuala, I'm sorry for the pronunciation, and Juhu. And they show that the reform planners failed to ask the peasants about their productive strategies and knowledge of their social and agricultural environment, assuming that cooperativization would respond to their interest and solve poverty. So they didn't like the response that Velasco Alvarado gave them. They like the idea of the land for those who work it, and they like the idea, they embrace the idea of gaining back their land, but the actual solution to that was that they would use this land in the communal way, and it actually gave the state power over this land, and they would have to share, like the people, the owner, indigenous owner of a land, would have to share part of their land and of their gains to other peasant communities. And that also got the government involved in there, which this fact didn't like bring overall an autonomy to these to the indigenous communities.
And so where do indigenous movements in Peru come into play? Would you say this had like a positive or negative effect? Did it spark any? Did it satisfy any? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So of course, this reform meant a lot in this topic. So there was actually in Peru a confederation. It's called Confederación Campesina del Perú, which searched for the peasant rights. It was actually founded in 1947, but after 1969, the year of the reform, it redirected the whole idea and empowerment on the indigenous movements. Nevertheless, the leaders of this confederation, they also found that the reform didn't respond to the needs of indigenous in the way that they needed. They said that the theory that they needed a reform that would lead to revolution. They wanted, this confederation wanted a bigger and more structural reform and revolution in the whole country that would change power dynamics in a more profound aspect. They also qualified the reform as beneficious for the landowners, because of the fact that the peasants, in order to regain the land, they would have to pay the landowners or the state.
Okay, that's really interesting. And I think we're going to see a lot of these same themes reflected when we look at Bolivia shortly. But I thought it was really interesting how all these reforms, while they did seem to focus on the indigenous Peruvians, failed to produce any real concrete benefits. And obviously, as we see, they did not satisfy the indigenous movements within the country.
Okay, so thank you so much, everyone. That was the first episode. Thank you for listening to the background and history about the agrarian reform in Peru and its impacts. We are now moving on to Bolivia, where Alice will take us in the journey about the history and also the agrarian reform and its effects. We are also going to be discussing the like a comparison between the two countries and our own perspectives about the topic and the fact of implementing two types of identity in the same country. So the economic identity and the over the ethnic identity. Thank you.